You're tuned to Perspectives, a half-hour public affairs show that airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. I'm Dennis Wu, sitting in for Louis Sines, and with me this afternoon is Harold Howell, the president of the El Paso chapter of the NAACP. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the NAACP. I don't think that we've been able to catch up to the latest news of what the NAACP has been doing in El Paso for the longest time. We're so happy to have you here. So
it's great to be here.
Today is your platform, and as always, at my casa, su casa, so anytime anything else happens, we'd love to have you back. But let's start with the history, the El Paso history, if you will, of the NAACP.
The El Paso branch of the NAACP was formed back in 1914. So we come up on our 100th year anniversary in 2014. A lot of folks said, why El Paso being the first in the state of Texas, such a large state? And I think it had a lot to do with the Buffalo Soldiers out in this area at that time. And then we had Dr. Nixon, who was a catalyst for the branch because he's been one of the landmark education / court decision case. So we've grown over the years. Currently, we've got several programs going on in the community, from voter registration, which we registered over 89 people. And that doesn't sound like it's a large number, but you got to realize El Paso is such a wide, open, diverse area. Mm-hmm. There's no one particular area where African Americans particular are living in. They're all throughout the city.
Right.
So there's a lot of places you have to go to find people who have not registered to vote and register them to vote. And we also every year have a banquet, and we give away scholarships to two or three deserving individuals. So the El Paso branch of the NAACP has really been busy over the past 98-plus years.
The NAACP chapter here opened 5 years after the national chapter opened up. And you brought up a curious point. Why El Paso? But it does make a whole lot of sense with the Buffalo Soldiers being here at Fort Bliss and with a large number of, I guess you could call them expatriates out of the South making their move westward, El Paso would be the perfect climb to land and set down roots.
That is correct. El Paso is a fantastic place, an ideal place to start an organization such as the NAACP to ensure that there are no wrongs perpetrated on the citizens of El Paso and the Southwest.
A lot of people would consider the NAACP being solitarily for only African American or black people, but that's not necessarily the case. That's actually a civil rights for everybody.
That is correct. NAACP, National Association of Advancement of Colored People, it didn't say that black people or white people or brown people. It said colored people. So that's all people in the United States or in the country that we try to assist or help or ensure that their rights are not violated.
When you decide that you're going to do the scholarships, what are the criteria?
There's several criteria. Go from church to their education goals, their education scores, what they're doing in the community, how they're impacting the community, and what are their goals for the future. So there's probably 6 or 7 different areas that we look at to make a determination who is best suited for the scholarship. When I say we, it's a committee. My education committee takes on that responsibility and asks all those questions, get all those answers, and make the final decision.
There have been a number of nonprofit organizations in the city that have found themselves on hard times trying to recruit new members in order to try to keep the organizations going. And I'm talking about folks like the Lions Club, like Kiwanis. Organizations like that, they find it very hard to get young people involved. Why do you suppose that's happening?
You know, that's a systemic across the country. It's hard to get young folks involved in a lot of the things that we, older generation than myself, has gotten involved with and try to take on. I think the young generation now has a different aspect, a different outlook on life. And that's something that is not relevant for them or to them right now. So they don't find a need to get involved. But it's a common upon the elderly people to try to educate them, school them on why they should get involved and what it has done for them and what it can do for them in the future.
I see a lot of our students of all different nationalities, colors, races, you name it, who have this notion that none of these organizations appeal to them. And I'm trying to figure out why that is. Is it, you know, again, you know, right, they've got to be schooled, but there's got to be some kind of an appeal to bring them into the fold, no?
Well, yes, it should be, but you've got to find that right niche to get them interested in coming in. Example, we'll say the Boy Scouts.
Mm-hmm.
How can I become a Boy Scout? I don't know anything about it. I hear someone talking about it, but my family hasn't said anything to me about it. I see commercials about it. Is that something I really need to get involved with? Probably not. Then someone began to explain the goodness of things that Boy Scouts do and how it prepares you for life in general. Then they get involved. And I think that's the same way with the NAACP and all the other organizations. We have to teach, mentor, and coach them on what's relevant in life for them. They believe that what they're doing now is relevant, and to a certain degree it is, but not as the term of helping someone who can't help themselves.
How do we change that thought so that they feel as though not only are they empowered to not only empower themselves, but empower a new generation coming up?
That's a hard one to crack. Many people have tried different techniques, but I think it would all boils down to the individual and their family, what they're being taught at home, and what's the good things in life and what's not good things. So I believe that's where it starts.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously as it goes up in the schools, teachers have an influence on what they say, and they see other people in the community and said, I want to be like that person, or I don't want to be like that person. So we just have to be mindful that the younger generation is watching our every step. So if we do something that's totally out of character that we shouldn't do, we should, I believe, take it upon ourselves to say, hey, you know, I made a mistake, and I shouldn't have said what I said or did what I've done
right, to
get them a better understanding.
The NAACP chapter here in El Paso, has it grown? Has it shrunk over the last 20 years? What have you seen?
Well, first off, I haven't been in the El Paso branch for 20 years, but from what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've read, we're about the same amount, fluctuate from year to year due to several things. People leave the city. People get disgruntled with something happening in the NAACP and just quit for two or three years, go home and sit down, and then they come back and get involved. So we have about the same amount over the past 20 years. As you might not be aware of, we have one of our past presidents who's still in the city and living here, was about a 20-year president, Bishop Johnny Washington.
Right.
And she's still here in the community. So, you know, there's a lot of history still here.
When you mention something about people getting a little disgruntled about what goes on inside the NAACP, I mean, what could that be where people just up and quit over something? Are there just internal issues that come up?
Internal issues and national issues. And why I say that is because I might not agree with something that our national headquarters voted to do or sent a letter out, said this is what we're going to do. I might disagree with it. So versus staying in the organization and trying to help them work through it, I just go home and sit down and quit. After two or three years of blown over, then I come back. And those are the type of things what I was referring to, our numbers fluctuate, people go home and not get involved.
Okay.
That's just like any organization, church, same way.
You know. Yeah, unions are the same way as well.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of trying to keep people actually informed about why things happen so that there isn't that, oh, I'm going to take my ball and go home and quit for a while and then, you know, I'll get back to it later. You just have to be informed about stuff.
Exactly. You have to be informing and listen to what they've got to say. Sometimes we're so busy talking, we don't listen. We don't listen enough to what they're really saying. And in most cases, they're hurting on the inside for something that you might not be aware of, and they might not be aware of the real reason it happened the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
And once you sit down and listen to them and give them your side, listen to their side, and come to an agreement, then move on. But we don't listen enough.
Do you reach out into Fort Bliss where we're having such an enormous growth? You know, East Fort Bliss is now there. You've got Northeast and a huge population coming in. It seems as though you would be able to get at least a temporary membership growth from folks from Fort Bliss.
I do reach out to Fort Bliss because of different statute that the military has in place. Sometimes the soldiers doesn't get involved with organizations like that in the community because they've got a lot of organizations on the installation that take care of probably 90 to 95% of their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't see any reason to come off post unless there's an issue with a organization or business in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Then they reach out to me and say, hey, you know, I've got this issue. Can we sit down and talk about it?
Right.
So I do get involved, but not as much as I could because of the restrictions that's in place.
See, I look at the NAACP and public radio as kind of like partners of sorts because our goals are pretty much the same. You try to illuminate the public with the needs of the community, address them, and then hope that that community reciprocation comes back and becomes a member. It seems like that would be the same way, no?
Yes, it would be the same way, but unfortunately, until you have the opportunity to go out there and talk to a large audience of soldiers, first you have to get permission to do all that kind of stuff because you live on a federal location. You just can't just go out there and talk to someone. You've got to let the right authorities on the installation know that you're coming and the reason you're coming. I do go out there a lot to speak to different organizations, different events. So they're aware of the El Paso branch of the NAACP. They're aware that we're here to support them and help them, guide them as best we can. And if we can't help them, we will turn them in the right direction to seek help from somewhere else.
Do you think, going back to this subject about the youth, do you think that the youth is losing touch with the history? The major names, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., Medgar Evers, Rosa Parks, I mean, the list is almost endless. And yet, I go to a history class here, and some of these kids have this blank look on their face.
Yes, the kids are losing history. And I think it's the twofold. I don't think we talk about it or teach it enough in school. And surely we don't talk about it enough in the community, except for those key holidays, your Martin Luther King birthday, Black History Month, so forth and so on. But we've got to get history back into the history books, especially pertaining to the African-American students. Because, as you said, Rosa Parks, who's that? Never heard of her.
Right. Medgar Evers, it strikes me. I mentioned his name to one of our students last year, and it stuck with me because I thought, oh, my gosh, how could you not remember what he's done? You know, granted, it might have been in the shadows of Martin Luther King Jr., but it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
You know, you're talking about two gentlemen who stood side by side in different parts of the country and yet worked for the same goal. How could you not know about them?
I don't believe we talk about it enough. In my personal opinion, I don't believe we have it in our curriculum in school. The curriculum over the years has really taken a lot of history out of the textbooks and put a lot of today's generation history more than the older or the elder gentleman's history.
With me this afternoon on Perspectives is Harold Howell. He's the president of the El Paso chapter of the NAACP. And we've been talking a little bit about the history of the El Paso chapter, a little bit of the national chapter. And one thing that comes to mind almost immediately is what the NAACP is now doing here in El Paso currently to either bolster the membership and bolster touch with the community or to increase the membership.
One thing that the El Paso branch and the national branch has in play is a membership drive. We're trying to get more connected to the churches, get the churches more involved as they did in the older days. A lot of the churches are not involved, so we're trying to do a partnership with the churches to come out and talk about the NAACP and what we've done and what we're doing, not to be that organization when I get in trouble, I call them. No, before you get in trouble, call me so we can sit down and talk about those issues. We also have economic development classes we put on quarterly, every 6 months, depending on if we get a need for it or we get invited to different places. And we always have blood drives going on throughout the city to enhance our recognition in the city and support other organizations who are doing like same thing.
Do you think the media, for the most part, has almost forgotten the El Paso chapter of the NAACP?
Yes. Yes. I was with a lawyer about 5 months, 4 months ago, a case, a young man in Mexico did the wrong turn in New Mexico. And it was not an NAACP issue, it was a humanitarian issue. And I got a lot of publicity about that, not from the NAACP side, but because it was a humanitarian thing and the president of the NAACP kind of got involved. Mm-hmm. So I think the media only comes to the NAACP elect organization when there is issues, wide open issues in the community or nation, that they just want a perspective from the El Paso branch of NAACP.
How do we change that?
That's a hard thing to change. Management, leadership, probably I could do more going down there to their doors and knocking on the doors. Let's have a conversation to see how we can better keep the communication turned on between the El Paso branch and NAACP and the medias around the community.
So when it comes time to talk about the issues, actually, the media has actually forgotten its responsibility about covering the community because the community is quite large. That's the bottom line to it all. Unless it's something that's really full-blown, media's not going to go out and search, and that's a shame. That's an indictment.
Yes, it is. But, you know, my take on that is that I send you my news release plenty of time and give you the opportunity to come. I can't make you come. I can ask you, please come in, at least take some pictures. But it's up to the general managers or the editors of the newspaper and the news media to ensure that they're put that one of their priorities. Go out and visit the different organizations in the community and find out something about them. And you'd be surprised what you might find out.
We're heading into the holidays and heading into a brand new year. What does the El Paso chapter have planned for all kinds of events and stuff?
Well, first off, we've got an election for the branch. We have it every 2 years, and our election is next month, November. Then in January, we'll have what we call a Jubilee celebration, part of the Emancipation Proclamation. And also, we swear our office in. Then we're going to Black History Month, Martin Luther King birthday. So we've got different events going through the summer. We don't take a summer break. We meet monthly, third Saturday every month, 11 a.m. at Mount Zion Baptist Church. So we have a lot going on, and we're constantly doing blood drives. We're constantly out talking housing issues. We've got an excellent individual who's head of our housing, does a great job.
Okay. When we start talking about these types of events, and these are really well-formed events for the community and whatnot, please, by all means, number one, the invitation is wide open. Anytime you have something like that, we'd love to have you on our radio station to talk about it because we're part of the media, and we feel like we really need to change these things. And this is the first step, I think.
Yes. I must say that my secretary I have does an excellent job keeping our calendar, keeping up with schedules to go to different events and also finding different events for us to look into and try to assist them with their event.
How does someone become a member of the NAACP, the El Paso chapter?
They can go to the El Paso NAACP.org, or they can go to the national website for the NAACP and there's a membership section. And you click on the membership section, and $30 for general membership for 1 year. We have a quarterly membership, not quarterly membership, but we can pay monthly $30. Mm-hmm. We can pay the $75 for a lifetime membership. So, and once again, if you go to the internet, they will ask you, are you part of a branch in your area? And the answer is yes. The branch number is 6175. So there's several ways they can do it. Plus, they can call me.
Okay.
They can call me anytime. Area code 915-474-1247.
Great. Harold, when you become a member of the NAACP and you want to go to a meeting, the meetings that you were talking about on the third Saturday,
yes.
Is that open to the membership?
Yes, it is. Our general membership meeting starts at 11 a.m.
Okay.
Third Saturday of every month at Mount Zion.
Okay. So any kind of issue that comes up can be discussed at these meetings?
Yes.
Or any idea for maybe doing a fund drive or a membership drive would be discussed there?
That's correct. I have my first vice president is my what they call Freedom Fund banquet chair, Freedom Fund chair, and he's the one who puts on most of our events. Fundraising events, so that would be the individual. So I'm the president, but I can't do everything. That's why I've got different members or different chairs. The more I have, the better the organization will be. The less I have, the less the organization will be. But NAACP will always be here to support the El Paso community whatever way we can.
Now, is this chapter solely for El Paso, or does this also include like Las Cruces and outlying areas?
No, solely El Paso. Las Cruces has its own chapter there in the New Mexico. And we're in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, that's something I didn't know either. That's nice. So when the two chapters come together to talk about issues, are there issues as similar to what we have here?
Yes, yes. And you've got to realize one thing is that White Sand Missile Range has a lot of El Pasoans working there, but live in El Paso. So sometimes we have to come together on issues involving those individuals.
Right.
Just like we got different colleges come here, go to Las Cruces, UTEP, Community College. So you got issues or perceived issues, and we have to look into them, and we have to do a joint search together.
Okay, that's curious. Well, how many chapters total do you think is inside the NAACP?
The whole national?
The whole national.
I would say roughly 600, 700?
My goodness. That's a chunk. Do you think the issues in this area are unique to this area, or are they similar to other parts of the nation?
Similar to other parts of the nation. We don't have any one just solely you can find in El Paso. There are a few, but most of those are kind of driven away. But we have bases across the country.
Okay. So if anyone has a problem, they can approach you and maybe help you get you guys to mediate a problem.
That is correct. On our website, El Paso El Paso NAACP, we have a site on our website that if you have a complaint, fill it out, and it will automatically get emailed to me. And then I will contact you, and we will get together and see what your complaint and see how we can rectify the complaint if it's part of the NAACP mission.
Okay, so that's ElPasoNAACP.org?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with about 5 minutes left to go in the show, is there anything that you would like to talk about while we're into this?
No, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come down and express what the El Paso NAACP is all about, talk about the branch, and talk about some of the members of the branch. And once again, we're here to support the citizens of El Paso and community.
One more thing before I let you go is the mission statement. The mission statement's always very important.
The mission statement for the NAACP is of the National Association for Advancement of Colored People is to ensure political, educational, social, and economical equality of minorities, groups, and citizens. Achieve equality of rights and eliminate race prejudice among citizens of the United States. Remove all barriers of racial discrimination through the democracy process. seek to enhance and enforce federal, state, and local secure and civil rights, inform public and adversaries affected of racial discrimination.
Harold, thank you so much. Mi casa, su casa. So anytime that you have something, I mean it. I'd love for you to get in touch with us, and let's put you on the air.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Harold Howell. He's the president of the El Paso chapter of the NAACP. If you have any problems, any issues, any questions at all, ElPasoNAACP.org is their website. And Harold, your phone number?
Area code 915-474-1247.
Mi casa, su casa again. Thank you, Harold.
Thank you.
This is Passport to Texas. It's finally cool enough to do some serious hiking in state parks, and there's plenty to see when you go, especially if you're on the lookout for the state's abundant wildlife. It's cool enough for them to be milling around, too. Our state park guy, Brian Frazier, tells us more.
I'm so glad we're doing a show on this because it's one of the most enjoyable experiences that you can do outdoors and one of the most popular, and it's great for kids. I was out the other day in a greenbelt, looked up into a big live oak tree, and there was a gray fox sitting in the tree. We're blessed with a variety of wildlife, and if you'll walk slowly and look through the tree lines and just see and the excitement that kids see when they observe wildlife like that in the woods, you know, for the first time sometimes, there's no experience like it, and it's just a real discovery moment for them and good for everyone. So when you're outside and enjoying the great weather here in the fall in Texas, take some time to see the wildlife that are already there. It will really enrich your already great hiking experience.
Thank you, Brian. And if you want to learn more about our state parks, go to the website texasstateparks.org. Again, that is texasstateparks.org. That's our show for today with funding provided by Chevrolet, supporting outdoor recreation in Texas because there's life to be done. For Texas Parks and Wildlife, I'm Cecilia Nasty.
Perspectives is recorded and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso. This afternoon, we had a lot of help from Kim Garcia and Jesse Marines as our production assistants. For Louis Sines, I'm Dennis Wu. Have a great afternoon.